Welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. And we also know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has told us his three commands, and from them all the scriptures are wrapped up, the law, the prophets, the histories, everything, that we are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today we are going to continue in that as we do every Sunday, for there is no other name under heaven by which man may be saved. Can I get an amen? Amen. And from that we use the Word of God from the Old Testament through the New Testament, for it is the fullness of God's revelation unto us. And today, for those of you out there on internet land, we're going to be in Isaiah 43. Chapter 43, verses 1 through 13. And our sermon title today is We Are Redeemed Regardless of, and then you get to fill in the blank, because your life will fill in that blank. Can I get an amen? Because many things are going to come against us. But regardless of all those things, we are redeemed. And that's one of the things I want us all to understand. I want us all to remember. I have been over the last several months, and I don't know, you probably have too, and maybe you've heard it, seen it, but just simply haven't put it together. Have you noticed how much attack there is coming against the Scripture of God? I don't watch TV anymore, okay? And I get all my news from the internet, because I want real news, I don't want fake news. So I go on the internet and I peruse, I look, I check, I study. You know, we're told to study to show ourselves approved, workmen worthy of the Word of God, but that also leads us into our lives. We need to study and check everything that's being told to us, not just take it for granted and think that everything they're saying or doing is true. We need to be investigating the very things we're being told. And today, that's one of the things I want us to think about, because I just watched two different, in the last 2 weeks, three weeks, I watched two different commentators just tear down God in the Old Testament. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same God. And you know, you're saying this God of the Old Testament is not the same God of the New Testament. And I say to you, He is the very same. But what He has done is poured out even more grace than was seen in the Old Testament. But yet there was grace in the Old Testament. The one gentleman that I was listening to, he said, you know, how can there be a God? Because there's bone cancer in children. And you know, all these different things. And he just went down and he said that God's a malicious God if this God exists. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. God did not bring disease on anyone. We brought disease on ourselves. And people look at me and they say, but how can you say that? Because we are the ones who brought sin into the world. Satan introduced it. We accepted it. Live with your consequences. And today I want us to see, just from the Old Testament, from Isaiah, how much God sees, knows, is there. But yet He was there in the beginning. He made a way for Adam and Eve. We all know that. The first sacrifice that took place. God was the one who initiated that sacrifice and covered them with the skins of the animals. We are now covered in what? The blood of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen through the church? So today, picking up your scriptures, turn to Isaiah 43, beginning in the first verse, and let us see the grace, the glory, the redemption of our Lord, regardless of what the world throws at us. It says, but now, thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west, and will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. Bring out the people who are blind, even though they have eyes, and the deaf, even though they have ears. All the nations have gathered together so that the peoples may be assembled. Who among them can declare this and proclaim to us the former things? Let them present their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, and there will be none after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. It is I who have decided and saved and proclaimed. And there was no strange God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God. Even from eternity I am he, and there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act, and who can reverse it? Thus saith the word of the Lord. Can I get an amen, church? Today I want us to understand, whatever comes at you, whatever life brings, you know, I watched the one thing I was listening to, and this gentleman, he said, you know, he studied all the world religions. He said, and in all the world religions, he said, do you understand? Now, this gentleman has a PhD in religion, okay? Just religious study, a PhD in religious study. He said, every religion established on earth today recognizes Jesus Christ. They recognize Jesus, not Christ. We need to remember, only one recognizes him as Jesus the Christ, okay? And that's Christianity. But all the rest of them recognize him. In fact, he says the Buddhists actually think that Jesus was a reincarnation of Buddha. And they claim that his teachings are good and you know, all this different stuff about Jesus. The Muslims say, oh, yes, he was a prophet of God, but not the final prophet. And all these others, he goes down this line, and he said, you know, he said, it amazed me because all these religions all say Jesus has worth, Jesus has worth, Jesus has worth, but they stick to something else. He said, then the last one I studied was the Bible, because the Bible's different. He said, when I studied the Bible, I looked at it, and Jesus said in John, in the 6th chapter, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father but by me. He said, so I started doing some intellectual reasoning. If all these other religions say Jesus is something, but, and then when we go to Jesus and we see what he says, and he says, I am, he said, do you want to listen to these others that try to include him in, or do you want to listen to the one that says, I am? He said, through logic and reasoning, there can only be one choice. He said, Jesus is the Son of God. He is very God indeed. The rest of them simply want to incorporate to make things easy to draw people in. He said, but Jesus doesn't make it easy, because the truth is never easy. I want you to think about what that man just said. And I want you to think about the word that we just read. When we began this, it says in verse 1, looking back at it again, I formed you. I am your creator. Isn't that what it says right there in verse 1? Thus says the Lord, your creator, he who formed you, O Israel. When we hear those words, he's not saying that cosmically something happened over billions of years. I created you. How many of you have ever studied history? Do you understand that prior to what they look at as this last ice age that happened, there was absolutely no written language. There was no literal understanding of man on the planet prior to that point in time. But as soon as the ice receded, guess what we find all over the world? Within just a few short years, we have written languages all over the world. Now, does that sound like man showed up over a long period of time, or was it all of a sudden? It was all of a sudden. We're here, and it wasn't aliens that planted us. It was God. He created us in his image. Is that not the book of Genesis? And when we understand this very word, yes, I do understand. And people say to me, but we're not Jacob and we're not Israel. We are ingrafted into Jacob. We are ingrafted into Israel. Remember, how we are ingrafted is through the promise made to Abraham, who is Jacob's grandfather. So we're even before Jacob. Isn't that an amazing thought? I want you to think about what I just said. Jacob was the generations that followed. We're not ingrafted into Jacob. We're ingrafted into the first. We come before Jacob. And yet God says, I have created you. I have formed you. God knew each and every one of us wherever we were at, wherever we came from. How do I know that? What does he say? Let's look at verse 2 and 3. He says, he will not, excuse me, wrong chapter. Before I go there, I want to go down to 3 and 4, and then I'm going to come back to verse 2, because the way I led out of there. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom and Cush and Sheba in your place. Okay? Since you are precious in my sight, since you honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other people in exchange for your life. Do not fear, I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, will gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. We need to understand God is making a provision here for those of us who were far off. I am not in Israel, am I? I'm in the United States. It's considered the West. And God has brought me from the West to be part of that promise that was made where? In Israel. Because where are we going to rule and reign? We're going to rule and reign from Israel. We're going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. That's God's capital. That's where God's people all will live, in the heavenly Jerusalem. It's understanding. When we look at this book, we can see how it translates to the New Testament, because we've studied the New Testament. How many people here are students of the New Testament? Awesome. How many people here are also students of the Old Testament? You better be. If you want to understand the New Testament, you better read the Old Testament, because the New Testament clarifies what God was doing back then, because he knew this was coming. God didn't do anything by accident. Absolutely nothing he said beforehand was said by accident. Everything God has done is making a way. He has made a way for each and every one of us, and he says, "Do not fear, I am with you. All will come." I want us to understand something. Before the end happens, everyone who is going to choose Christ up to that point in time will have chosen him. How many of us have loved ones out there that we fear for? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if you believe they're coming in, if you believe and you hold that in your heart and you are praying and you are evangelizing them, talking to them, being Christ to them, and they are destined to come, they will come. God does not lie. God does not lie. And you and I can hold to that very truth. We understand that, yes, things were bad in the Old Testament. Why? Because they had the law and they had to live by it. If they didn't live by it, they died by it. Well, what about now? We are under grace, and I haven't even gotten there yet. But I want us to understand that we are yet in the same world they were in. Look at verse 2, please. We need to go back to verse 2. It says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you." Brothers and sisters, does it say if? No. What's it say? When. Do you think God knows we're headed for trouble? Yeah, I do believe so. But guess what? He has said, "I will be with you." We are not to fear. We are not to fear the world. We are not to fear the things that are coming in this world. I do not know. I have absolutely no idea what the waters are going to be for you, what the rivers are going to be for you, what the fire is going to be for you, and what the flame is going to be for you. I have no idea, but I can tell you right now they're coming. And it's going to seem like it's up to here when it's the water. Can I get an amen? Ain't none of us ever been there, right? And when the fire is burning you and purging you and you just feel all burned, there ain't no more to give, right? That's where God kicks in. And there's a whole lot more that he can do in and through you and I. Because he knows what's in here. He put it in here, and it's called the Holy Spirit. He is called the Holy Spirit, and he can take a whole lot more than we can. And when we cling to him, we get purified, we get purged, and what is left? The image of God, because that's who is in us. Wow. Are we here? Are we celebrating? Do we understand that through Isaiah, through the very beginning, from the time of Genesis, he said unto Adam and Eve, "I will put enmity between your seed and his seed." In other words, those things that were yet to come. And that's you and I. That's you and I. We are at odds with the world. Can you see it? And it is going to happen until the day Jesus Christ receives us to himself or raptures the church out of here. Can I get a hallelujah? Hallelujah. Because what a day that will be. I mean, think about it. The scripture says two will be in the field working. One will be taken and one will be left. Two will be in bed. One will be taken, one will be left. I fear for the folks that are sleeping because that other one's not going to have any idea what happened. But those two in the field, they're going to watch that one disappear and be like, "Oh, no." Oh, yeah, that's what the other one's going to be saying on their way up. But think about that reality. It's going to be that quick. And the world is going to be at a loss for what has happened. But the evil one knows it's coming and the lies are already prepared. Do you see it? Because he says, "Don't worry, I'm bringing everybody." We just read it, right? I'm bringing everybody. Nobody gets missed. Everybody's coming home that's supposed to be coming home. You know, I think it's funny because we're parents. How many of us are parents? And we worry about our kids, right? If you're raising them upright and they're walking in it, don't worry about them. Daddy's got them covered, just like how many of you dads out there got your kids covered, right? You try hard, don't you? Each and every one of us, we try hard, and we look at it and we say, Lord, I hope a little bit of it worked out. I hope a little bit of it stuck. But guess what? When they're old, that's when we see it. When they're young, they make you have gray hair. Believe me, I'm already there, okay? Yeah, he's got two young little ones. That's two young boys, I should say. So he's figuring that out too, all right? And I look at some of us and I think to myself, yeah, mine went white. Others of you lost it. You know, it's gone because of it. And I got to chuckle because Dad doesn't worry. Dad doesn't worry. And we're told, don't fear. Don't fear the things of this world. Fear God. I actually listened to a pastor, and he said he was preaching the fear of the Lord. He had a two-day seminar that he was doing at another church. He was invited in to preach on this topic, and so he came in, and the second day he comes in, and the pastor who had invited him stood up and said, I need to clear up a heresy that was spoken yesterday, because you know we were told that we're to fear the Lord, but the Scripture tells us that perfect love casteth out all fear, so we're not supposed to fear God. I'm sitting there on this end of this thing looking at this guy who just brought the truth of the word, because we are to fear God. That is to revere God, not to be afraid of him, but to revere God, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if I would have been that pastor, I'd have rebuked the pastor that just rebuked me. And like Isaiah, I'd have probably called down fire out of heaven. Now, would it have happened? I probably doubt, because you know the Lord's not into giving me clout, but he's into the truth of his word. And we need to understand, and this is what I'm trying to say, this stuff's going to come at us from all over the world, and some of it's going to come at us from within the church. There are churches out there right now that won't preach a message like I'm preaching today because it's not warm and fuzzy. It holds to the truth. I'm going to say this. The truth can hurt because I'm a sinner and I cling to the things that I want to cling to, not because I'm supposed to. How many of us love our children and they do stupid things? And we have to discipline them. How many of us who are now adults did stupid things and we got disciplined? How many of us are adults and still do stupid things and should be disciplined? Please understand, God knows, and it will happen. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I get an amen, church? Because a loving God disciplines his children. A loving God brings order into the things that are under his control. And folks, there's nothing that's not under God's control. That includes us in every form. So when these things come, when this fire comes, when this flood comes, when the river seems like it's raging, do not fear those things. Fear God. Can I get an amen? And hold fast to him. Because he knows they're coming, and he says, I will not leave you, I will not forsake you. In fact, he says to us in verse 4, I love this. He says, since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Now, in the Old Testament here, he says he gave Egypt and Cush and Seba. Okay? We need to understand that God literally poured out his wrath, because remember, the Israelites were not walking in the fullness of God's ways. They hadn't been given the law yet. But who took the punishment for holding them in that place where they were doing abominations? Egypt, Cush, and Seba. We need to understand, what did God do to Egypt? He utterly destroyed their entire army. We need to understand, he was showing us a type of what the Christ was going to be doing. We now live under Jesus. Another has taken our guilt. Another's life was taken that we may have life. Can you see it? Can you understand what God is saying here? God actually said, enough death. Okay? And this is one of the things that so many proponents of of hating the Old Testament come against it for, is that they look at it and they say, oh my goodness, look at all the people who died, and look at all this destruction and all this death, and oh, it was just carnage. Yeah, because sin had to be dealt with. And God said enough. Because the scripture tells us in the fullness of time, God sent his son. Because enough people have died. God said enough. You've killed enough bulls and calves and pigeons and whatever else, and I've killed enough people because they won't listen. So I'm sending my son. One died that all may live. And it's understanding that's where we live today. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. One died that all may live. But we have to do something. And it's not pray a prayer, Jesus, come into my heart. It is repent. Repent of your sin. Repent of your sin and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Now, you and I need to understand something, because we just touched on this last week, that it is not the baptism of water that we're talking about. It's the baptism of the holy fire, which is the Holy Spirit who comes upon us. Because there's only one baptism that can truly take away sin for all time, and that is the baptism of God as he cometh over us and dwelleth in us. Can I get an amen, church? Wow, you ought to see your faces. You're like, whoa. Praise Jesus. Because it's that real. And that's the love God has for each and every one of us. He says, I am God. He could have destroyed it all. But what did he do? He chose to give up his life. He chose to love us in such a way that all he asks is love me and repent. Love me and repent. And I'm going to ask you a question right now. How many of you out there are still working on that? Yeah. I'm 60. I'm going to be working on that until I'm 120. I don't think we're going to see 120. But you get my point. Until the day he calls me home, I'm going to be a work in progress. Not process. Remember, we don't use that around here, right? Because process can be static. Progress means you're moving forward. And that's what God wants. And he's there to encourage us. He's there to let us know that there is nothing that we need to worry about. In John 16 and chapter 33, we know Jesus has said to us, take heart. You will have troubles in this world, but I have overcome the world. We need to understand, he's taking care of all this stuff. You're okay. Simply stop doing the things that are getting you in trouble. How many of us need to stop doing the things that are getting us in trouble? And I think it's amazing, because within the church we've been lied to so much that we think we can do anything because I'm in Christ. That is not the truth. I am going to tell you right now, there are so many people in the church that truly do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ because they have not repented. What does to repent mean? It means to turn away from and do no more. There are things in my life I have completely and totally repented of. I do them no more, and I give praise and glory to God because I couldn't have done that in my own flesh. But he gave me a strength and a power that allowed me to do that. And he's working on me in other areas. And I know I have to rely on him to get me there. But that means I need to meet him where he is. I need to be the one who changes. Truth? Truth? Yes. You can't keep doing the same thing and expect different results. That's crazy. But we need to understand, God is telling us here, walk away from these things. Give them up. I'm going to bring everybody in who's supposed to be here. I am God. And this is one of the things that I love. Look at verses 8 and 9. Look at verses 8 and 9. Yeah, I know I seem like I'm jumping all over the place, but I'm following my points because they lead one to another. It says, bring out the people who are blind, even though they have eyes, and deaf, even though they have ears. All the nations have gathered together so that the peoples may be assembled. Who among them can declare this and proclaim to us the former things? Let them present their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is true. We need to understand, God is telling us right here that every person will give an account. Everyone will be brought before Him, and every word we have ever uttered, every thought we have ever thought, everything we have ever done will be brought, and the witnesses will be brought out. And we need to understand something. I taught on this several weeks ago. Do you understand? There is a book of testimony about you in heaven. Everything you have said, everything you have done, everything you have not said, and everything you have not done is written down. And that book is going to be opened up. And you and I are going to stand before God. Every human being is going to stand before God. And we will be without excuse. Now, there are those out there who say, yeah, but the church is full of hypocrites. Yes, it is. I'll be one of the first people to jump on that bandwagon because I are one. There are times I do things I shouldn't do. And there are times I want to do things that it seems like I can't do. Why? Because there's a war going on in me. There's a war going on in each and every one of you. And we have to realize it and choose it. I can remember when I tried to stop cussing. My wife, oh my goodness, thank God for such a godly woman. She put up with a mouth that was worse than any sailor. And it would take me, you know, I would cuss and say stuff, and it would be hours later, and I'd be like, wow, I can't believe I said that. And then it got to be minutes. And then it got to be, it was literally on my, yeah, I'm doing that for purpose, on my tongue, and I would stop. It was as if my spirit was just shutting me down. And I realized God's working on me. What a work in process. No, in progress. Because I mean to tell you, it's going to take time. Some of us are doing things that we shouldn't be doing even now, and we don't even know that we shouldn't be doing them. But God will make it clear to you as the time comes for you to work on these things. Because God's not an oppressor, He's a lover. But God's not going to love you and let you continue to sin. God is going to deal with you, oh wretched man, okay, that I am. Because He loves us and He wants us to be right. He wants us to be whole. And He says to these people, let the blind come out even though they have eyes. Let the deaf come out even though they have ears. What's He saying? Those who have rejected me, they saw the truth. They heard the truth and yet they rejected me. Let their witness speak. And remember, how many of us can lie? In heaven, nobody can lie. Before a holy God, not one lie will ever be spoken. And remember, that's the only time that the sinners come out before the Lord, because they have already paid their price of death and separation in hell. And when they stand before Him, it's for judgment. It's not for justification. It's for judgment. And they will speak truth. They will speak truth. They cannot lie at that point in time. And think what their testimony is going to say against them. They're going to be the ones speaking these things right out of their mouth. I want us to understand, God is not an ogre. God is not the one who brings harshness in this world. God brings health, brings healing, brings hope, brings joy, brings peace. Because that is who He is. He cannot bring anything other. But we need to submit to Him. When we look at this world and we see what's happening in this world, we need to remember, God says, you will be my witnesses. We're going to speak of the goodness of God and how we were wretches and through grace we were saved. You see, God has allowed us to continue on under grace so that when we get to that time of judgment, We're not going to be able to say, but I did this and I did that. We're going to say, oh, wretched man that I am. And they're going to say, you know, God's going to say to us, so what makes you think you have the right to be here? And you know there's only one answer to that question. By the blood of the Lamb, I have no hope but the blood of the Lamb who was shed for me. And Jesus is going to say, done. Dad, this one is mine. This world is going to bring everything at us that it can. This world is going to throw everything at us that it can. But we need to remember, verse 13, even from eternity I am He. There is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act, and who can reverse it? The Word of God is the Word of God, true and whole and holy. And when you and I get to that point of judgment, turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. When you and I get to that place of judgment, these things will be remembered. From chapter 12, in the 10th through 12th verse, we read these words. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. For this reason rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. Brothers and sisters, we're living in that truth and that very reality today. There are going to be those who are going to come against each and every one of us because we are in Christ Jesus. But we have overcome them through the blood of the Lamb and what? The power of your testimony. The word of your testimony. What is your testimony? The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Today, you are redeemed. I pronounce it not because I can, but because God did. You are redeemed in Christ Jesus. And nothing, nothing in all of creation can separate you. And we know this, right? Book of Romans can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. You are redeemed. Pray with me. Father God, we come before you because we know the truth. Your truth is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Your truth is the Word in our hearts and in our lives. So Father, we come unto you through that very Word and by the very Word that has given us life. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to be this Word in this world. Because we cannot fear this world, but we can fear you. For we know that you are God, and we will be your witnesses throughout all the earth. So be it now, and so be it forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.